Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
I'm so excited to wind down today.
I'm so excited to wind
I'm
down today.
I'm so pumped. Why? You're not excited, but I'm so excited.
No, I'm excited,
no,
but
you're
I
not.
Have a confession. I have a confession. I have never watched. Are you ready for this? The Bachelor.
How
or
dare
the Bachelor.
You?
I have tried, but I've never watched.
Why?
I just
tell
can't.
Tell me why.
You're sticking it to the man. You won't give in.
I think part of my problem is I worked in daytime TV too long.
Yeah.
I really do.
I mean, is it just like the people, like the actual, like, the Bachelor or the girls, or is like who bothers you more, the girls
nobody,
or the
nobody bothers me at all. Nobody bothers me because I just don't watch it. But I, you know what the thing is I love scripted TV.
Do you think the Bachelor scripted?
Let's
I
ask
love scripted with a storyline.
Yeah.
Like crime or...
Right. Okay. You don't like
you know,
oh
like sharper
God,
objects.
Like
she's drinking vodka all day. Like, that's interesting to me.
Well, I...
Although they're drinking vodka all day, too.
Right.
Yeah,
on The Bachelor.
They are. And then falling into a pool. But yeah. I'm just, like, so excited because I've watched most of the Bachelorette mm-hmm. series. There's some that I haven't watched just because I couldn't either stand the guy or the girl. And then Mike's always like, oh, you're watching this again? But then he'll, like, walk past the room real slow. And then he'll be like... And then he's like intrigued by it.
And I'll
then
be
he
like, hey, did Jason forgive Brittany yet? Yeah. Like, I like say something like that. And she'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you've been paying attention? Yeah. Like, oh, no, I'm just asking. Yeah.
But we're really excited because we have Chris Harrison on the phone. So
and I do love him.
He's the best.
Yeah, I love him.
But first, I want to tell you guys something that I'm excited to use after I have the baby. So right now, obviously, I'm very lucky to not have a period. But when I do, I'm really excited about Lola because... I don't know. I just think it's really great that you get to curate how many, I think it's so great that you get to curate the sizes that you want delivered to you, which I think is so easy because sometimes you don't need the entire pack of supers or the entire pack of lights. This way you get to build your box of 18 tampons or 12 pads. So you can do as many as you want, different kind of regular super, super plus, pads too can be ultra thin day pads or night pads. So I think it's really great and it's shipped to you. So the cool thing is that you'll know when your period's coming because you're going to get a box to your door. And so that way, cause I'm always running out and I'm like, crap, I forgot to go to the store and get some and now I don't have any, but this way you are totally set with Lola. You can cancel, skip an order, modify your subscription anytime. It emails you 2 days before your box is shipped, so there's no surprises or anything like that. So for 40% off all subscriptions, visit MyLola.com and enter Jana when you subscribe. That's MyLola.com and use promo code Jana to get 40% off all subscriptions. MyLola.com, promo code Jana. Christopher!
Hello.
Hi!
How
are
you doing?
I love you. You know
wow.
I love you.
What a great way to start a conversation.
Right? You guys, we have Chris Harrison on the phone.
I know.
Like Chris Harrison. Hey, Chris, you're in studio with me, Jen, and my husband. Hi.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Chris.
To the fake Chris Harrison accounts that are out there.
I mean, it better not be a fake. This better be the real Chris, because we want to ask you like all the goods. Jen has never watched a Bachelor episode like ever.
All right, we'll excuse her from the show.
We'll mute her microphone.
But I do love
you. She's never, in all seriousness, she's never watched it ever.
Ever.
It's been on for 17 years. It's on about
17 years?
Wow. Yes, wow. I know.
I
17
you
years.
You've seen a show.
It has been on the air as long as I was married.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, well, we all make mistakes. yeah, no, I have my son, in all seriousness, was 6 weeks old when I got the job.
Wow.
And
wow.
He is now a junior in high school. So when he walks, you know, of course, a lot of the people have been around for, you know, 10, 15, 16, 17 years on the show. And so when they knew my kids as babies, then they walk on set and he's 6'1" and a big old junior in high school. It's crazy to think that's how long we've been doing this.
Did you think, like, when you got that gig as, you know, the host, did you think that it would have this longevity that it has?
No, never. You know, never. You can't possibly think that in television. If you do, you're just naive or stupid. Because you just never know what's going to resonate and what's going to catch. Because at the time, Survivor had just started, so the whole reality thing really hadn't even caught fire yet. It was all so new, and this concept was completely foreign and new. And so it was, you know, you never know what's going to catch. And by the way, not only will it catch, and it was huge for such a long time, but, you know, why it still resonates and why it continues to draw an audience younger and younger is, you know, it goes against kind of all conventional wisdom in television.
Why is that, Chris? Why do you think this has been able to last so long? Besides you being the host, of course.
I was going to say, there's only one content, so
right.
I would tell my agent to tell the network that I think it's about, and to get a little cheesy, it's about that one thing that we can all relate to. Everyone understands.
Love.
It. Yeah, it is. It's companionship, love, no matter where I travel in the world, wherever you guys go. You know, it's the one thing that kind of connects us all. But we all get it. And the other thing is, you know, the show remains fresh because of the bachelors and bachelorettes that we have. And so, you know, if we had kept going with Trista, for example, who I love from 16, 17 years ago, our first bachelorette, and she was the only one that we'd ever had. Well, she's, and I don't mean to out her, but she's in her 40s now. And she probably wouldn't be considered as cool to the college kids, the high school kids. But instead, it's this new crop of bachelors and bachelorettes.
Right. Who's your favorite bachelorette of all of them? Can you say that or no?
Oh, you can't do that to me.
Yes, I can. I can ask you anything I
it's
want.
Like, who's your favorite child?
I know. It's like, who's your favorite child?
Well.
Right. But, you know, I would go back, honestly, just to, you know, like Trista, just because life changed so much. And it wouldn't just be because of Trista, but because of how my life changed and the show was changing and so much happened during all that time. That, you know, it's not that I'm not grateful now, but it was just a crazy experience to be a part of back then.
Right. Chris, what is that conversation like when your son comes to you one day and says, Dad, I want to be the next Bachelor?
I think for him, I'll never have to worry about it. I could possibly see my daughter, Taylor, who is 14, who was born 2 years into, speaking of like things where I remember, Meredith's season of The Bachelorette was wrapping up, and we were just about to go out to the desert and go to Trista's wedding, and that's when Taylor was born.
Wow.
So it's amazing that, you know, my kids have grown up in this. But I could see my daughter doing it, and honestly, if she wanted to, good on her. Just remember, Dad's always watching.
Yep.
I mean, that's got to be hard for you, though, as like a dad to like see some of these girls and then you think about
Birding.
Your daughter. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, that's got to be tough for you. I mean, do they really kind of look at you as someone that they can, like a confidant on the show?
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I've grown into. It's, you know, my role has definitely changed over the years, for sure. You know, I started out really as just the host and reading whatever lines they kind of put in front of me, and we were all making it up as we went. Now, obviously, I've been around for 17 years. I helped produce the show. I know it, you know, as good, if not better, than anybody else working on the show now. And so it definitely has changed, and you've earned that respect with experience and time. So it's definitely evolved over the years. But, you know, the funny aspect with my daughter is the conversation that it has kind of opened up. You know, she's at that age, she's 14, where dad wants to have conversations with his daughter, but it's hard because it's awkward and weird. But The Bachelor's kind of opened some of those doors to having some pretty difficult conversations. You know, I will use the show, we'll be watching it, and I'll say, okay, you know, what do you think of what she just did there? What do you think of that guy and how he's acting? And it's fun to kind of allow her to talk about it, and
that's
she doesn't really realize
that's
we're
cool.
having those conversations.
Yeah, what a good way to use that tool.
Yeah.
To open up the door. Chris, with your role kind of being more of a mentor now in these later seasons, I mean, do you really find yourself pulling contestants aside and being like, hey, man, stop being a douchebag? Or do you not encourage it, but you just let it happen because it adds to the show?
I usually use stronger language than that.
I'm sure you do.
It's a little bit of both. There is that fine line of I get it, we're creating television.
Right.
But at the same time, these are human beings, and I do care about most of them, not all of them, but most of them. And you do want to help them, especially when they are the bachelor or the bachelorette. I feel that they are kind of under my care. It's almost like a coach, you know, taking a kid to college. You feel responsible for those kids. You know, when Becca's the bachelorette, you try and help her avoid some of the pitfalls. You know, I have to, you know, have hands off a little bit because we are creating a show and you want her to really experience some of these situations. You can't prepare for everything. But, yeah, there is a certain sense of you know, whether I would like to say it's an older friend more than just a dad, because that makes me feel really old, but it's kind of that father figure.
I love that, but I got to say, I do not agree with the bachelor choice that they've just made.
Colton.
With Colton. I just don't, I don't, well,
you're
first.
You're not the only one.
I've seen that. I've looked into it a little bit about the kind of backlash. For me, though, I'm like, don't you want to test drive before you buy the car?
Well, you're talking about a whole different issue. First of all, Colton is a virgin, for those of you out there that don't know.
Which is great. I'm not trying to say, like, virgins aren't, like, whatever. But for me personally, like, I'd be like, no, I don't want to go on the show. Because I think sex is such a big... I mean, what if he sucks in bed... And
well,
then you have to be
to.
Married. Yeah. I mean, right. And you have to, he's going to lose his gusto in a second. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, what if he doesn't like, no. And it's like, then now you're going to be married to that.
Yeah. But as a woman, you could be opportunistic. Be like, I can mold him.
But sometimes you can't. You can't. I've tried to mold like bad kissers. If you are a bad kisser, you are bad. Yeah. If you are bad at sex, you are bad.
You're opening a lot of different topics, because I agree. And it's not necessarily a bad kisser, but it's someone who doesn't blend with you. If you don't have that chemistry when you're kissing, I'm a firm believer that just cut the cord. You're done.
Done.
You're not changing that. You're not fixing that. There's something dramatically off. Now,
true, but what are they going to do in the overnights? Are they just going to hold hands?
No. What if we watch him
lose his virginity?
Lose it. Like, I don't mean to be a creeper, but
I'll watch that.
Amy just wants to watch the world burn in front of her eyes.
I'll watch that.
Well, then maybe you just reaffirmed our choice.
Yeah. I just feel like, and I will say this, like, I'm not trying to talk bad about him. I met him. He came in the studio because he was doing another podcast with Ben, and he just seems like a baby to me.
Yes.
He's even like his face, like he's just a baby. He seems very sweet. I know he does a lot of good things in the community, but he just doesn't seem like a man to me.
Well, I didn't. By the
way, I'm just saying.
I watched him on with Becca, and he's not a man. Like Garrett was a man. Like Garrett, like, and Colton was like, just like, he doesn't have the life experience. Like,
he's
who wants to be with someone that wants to like not have those life experiences and like have been in relationships and done those things? I don't know. That's just me. But good luck to the 25 women.
I'm with you. Look, I'm of a certain age. I don't want to date a virgin.
Yeah. If you dated a virgin, we'd have major problems with like your age. You'd be dating the 40-year-old virgin.
There's a large misnomer out there, and feel free to back me up in there, that, you know, guys like, oh, that would be a dream to date a virgin. Like, no, it's not.
No.
There's a whole list of complications that comes along with that.
But I think, Michael, you could speak to this part where it's like, you know, he did say on the show too, where he felt like he had to like be like, yeah, I'm banging all these chicks, because that's like what locker room talk. And that's like, that's not who he was. But he felt like in that lifestyle of football, like, right, he felt like he had to like have that.
Colton,
so don't you think he might meet some? He might meet a woman. Hopefully, he will on the show. That is
also a virgin.
No,
I know one virgin, and I love you because I know she listens. I'm not going to say her name, but
how old is she?
She's in her early 20s. She's waiting till marriage. She's
okay. That's okay.
And that's great.
What is the reasoning?
Yeah.
You know, is it religious? Is it an issue from your childhood?
Right.
Is there trauma there? Is it just a belief you can't tell me? Like, there's a lot of different reasons, and that's probably what I would want to get to, no matter who I was dating. Why are you doing it?
Okay, switching gears, because I do have a lot of things I want to talk to you about, Chris. I have to tell you guys about FabFitFun. It's a subscription box that I love. I love FabFitFun because there's so many things that comes in the box. And what I love about it is that there's no samples of anything. So it's a fantastic value. You can get so many like amazing things. Like this last box, I got some new dish towels for our bathroom, but then I got a great mask to go with it, and then a great little beauty brush set. So in every single box, there's always going to be a beauty blender, Glam Glow bubble sheet mask, which are fantastic. Simply Whimsical set of two tea towels, which looked so great in our kitchen. And then Skin & Co. Roma Blue and Capri shower gel. Sign up for FabFitFun today to get your fall box. The FabFitFun fall box is in limited supply, and these boxes always sell out. So use my code Jana to get $10 off your first box. Go to FabFitFun.com to sign up and start getting the box for a life well lived. Use promo code Jana to get $10 off your first box. That is over $200 for only $39.99. Go to FabFitFun.com and use my promo code Jana to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box. Okay, Chris, so can we switch gears a little bit about, because you are divorced.
I am. Thank you.
Was it the show that caused
I'm like, was your wife like jealous of all these women that, because I mean, here's the deal. If, you know, it was basically, if it's The Bachelor, you've got all these women that are probably trying to flirt with you too. He's quiet.
Oh my God.
I didn't know. I thought you were, that wasn't a question.
Radio silence. Wow.
In answer to your question, you know, we were married. I met my wife back in college. We were old childhood sweethearts. And, you know, we met when we were 18 years old and got married very young. So she grew up around the show and she traveled, you know, especially back then we had young kids. And so, you know, they would often come with me when we were in Italy or France or whatever, and she was there a lot. And, you know, when you're around this business, you know, like country music or anything else, you realize it's not nearly as glamorous as everyone makes it seem, obviously.
Yeah.
But they'd be crazy not to flirt with me, is what I think.
Clearly.
I think that's what you were getting at.
So do you kind of, now that you're, like, single, do you, when, you know, this next season, it's like, are you kind of, like, taking your picks, too, for yourself?
I tell the bachelors, I'm like, okay, look.
She's off limits, but everybody else, you can go for that.
And, you know, I subliminal stuff of, like, man, she really just seems like a bitch. You're not going to. He was saying some stuff behind your back. You do not want to mess with her.
That's amazing.
Hey, Chris, do you, you've been doing this for so long and you've watched all of these people fall in love or not fall in love. Do you go into a season intuitively, like with a gut feeling? You're like, oh, so-and-so's, they're going to be it. Like that.
Not anymore, just because I realized how bad I am at that. And my women's intuition must be really bad, because you'd think night one you would have a pretty good idea.
Right.
And I will say, for the Bachelorette, it's a little bit easier to see sometimes.
I was going to say, I think it's easier too for the Bachelorette, because I mean, I knew day one, I was like, Garrett's the one. Like, even before I read the, like, Reality Steve and all those, like, spoilers, and I was like, Garrett, I know.
And even if Garrett isn't, like, the one, I knew he was going to be top four.
Yeah.
Same thing with Blake. And there's just certain guys that really peak early. With the Bachelor, it's a little bit different, a little bit harder to break down. And again, there's always that one or two that will kind of, you know, they're going to be around. But I think the potential for a dark horse is a lot higher for in the Bachelor.
Michael was going to be on The Bachelor.
Right?
What? Yeah. The Bachelorette. I think it was Emily season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was still in the NFL and playing for Buffalo. And
you would have been what's his face this past season? Were you like,
you
what was his
Colton
name?
The
oh yeah.
No, no, the other football player who actually got hurt playing football on the season.
Oh, Clay.
Yeah. And I know Clay.
I direct messaged Becca after that. I go, were you really that sad that he left?
I just felt so bad for him. We're having this goof around football game, and the guy, I think it's, you know, he's one of those guys. And Michael, you know, it's so hard to give it up and get out of the league, even when kind of deep down you know it's done. And so I think he's trying to hold on for one or two more seasons, and then he gets hurt. And I'm just like, oh god, like
on the Bachelorette.
So that's what ended it.
Yeah.
How did you get hurt on the Bachelorette?
Yeah.
I know, but you did your interviews and stuff, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I don't remember who won the casting. Producer, whoever it was that I met with, I can't remember her name right now, but yeah, we had a game. Actually, we were playing the Chargers and came out here because it was a West Coast game. We came a day early and they came to the hotel we were staying at in San Diego and took like still shots, did like an on-camera interview, and I was good to go during the offseason. Even the word spread quick throughout the team and the organization, where I even had my coaches coming up to me, like being all excited about it. And I ultimately tore my ACL at the end of that season. So I kind of decided not to. And my offense coordinator at the time came up to me. He's like, hey, man, I'm really sorry you got hurt. Hope you're doing okay. But just want to know, are you still going to do the Bachelorette? Like, that literally came out of my offensive coordinator's mouth. And I was like, I don't know. Probably not.
They all wanted to vicariously live through you.
I'm glad you didn't do it, though.
Knowing what you know now, thinking back, do you regret any decisions on not being on the Bachelorette?
No.
I don't think Emily would have been your girl anyways.
No, I don't like blondes anyway, but...
but you would have been competitive and wanted to be the winner,
oh,
right?
No,
I think that's what a lot of the contestants
Chris would have been like, oh, he's going to be in the top four. I'm very confident in that.
Wow. No, but I mean, even if I think if I was, because I've thought about it, like when I was single, I thought about maybe either trying
celebrity
to be the Bachelorette.
Bachelor.
Like, I don't know, or just trying to be like one of the girls on the show. But I think I'm so competitive where I would, even if I didn't like the guy, I mean, like there's been so many Bachelors that I've just not liked at all. But I think I would have pretended to like them more just so I could like be the winner. Is that, do you see that happening?
Basically, yeah, what everybody does.
I tend to see it a little more, honestly, with the women than I do the men.
Yeah.
I think men are a little bit more cut and dry when we like someone or we don't. And that typically doesn't change. You know, whereas women, you can see a certain different side of a man. Mm. All of a sudden he can be sweet or romantic or whatever it is. Maybe it's competitive. And that those feelings can change. Typically for a guy, if you are not into a woman, usually that does not change, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I sometimes use the prison or deserted island analogy. Like, if you're on a deserted island,
this is all you
like,
got.
Only one dude.
Yeah.
Suddenly that guy
is so hot.
Smoking hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially if he's taking
he's
you to
super
like.
Super funny and cool, and he's taking you to eat the coconut, and you're like,
yeah,
hey.
With like roses
that's,
everywhere.
That's what in the athletic world, that's what we call camp eyes. When you're in training camp for like 6 weeks, all you have is a bunch of testosterone and dudes around you. Then the first, like lunch lady you see, you're like,
we call it office.
Not bad.
Do you guys know office goggles? You know, beer goggles. So office goggles is why everybody thinks like the guy by the copier is cute because you're in the office
right.
with just a bunch of trolls. And you're like,
or the delivery man that comes
hopefully
in the FedEx guy.
Hopefully nobody iHeart's listening to this right now.
Do you enjoy Bachelor in Paradise, like, because you get to have, like, a vacation?
Well, it is. It's nice being in Mexico, but it's actually a harder show to shoot. It's a lot more condensed. They don't give us nearly as much money. It's summer TV, so our budget is a lot smaller. And we do a lot more work, and it's a lot more intensive than The Bachelor and Bachelorette, where we have so many more producers and people and camera operators and crews working. So it's a tough shoot. But at the same time, yes, we're down on a beach in Mexico, and it doesn't suck.
Right.
And it's fun. For me, it's Bachelor Paradise is you've signed up for, you've come back. You know what you're in for.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to have a lot more fun with us than the first time around with The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
I mean, it was pretty coincidental that Colton broke up with Tia, and then all of a sudden, I don't know. The editing was interesting for me.
They needed to break up before we could announce. We were trying to hold it as long as possible, but it's going to get out, and I mean, it did get out. But
yeah,
it's at some point we had to announce because we need to go to his hometown and start shooting the packages and let the other guys know. So it's a lot goes into it that we had to move it forward.
So with all these, with The Bachelor, with Bachelor in Paradise, you're doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You got your brewery up in Texas. Like, how are you finding time for all of this that you're doing?
I don't. That's the long and short of it. I wish I had time for, really in the time I want. I don't want for more business. I want for, hanging out with the kids and watching lacrosse and going to soccer games and all the fun stuff. That, this window of opportunity, and you guys have a young one, but, my kids, my son in 2 years is off to college, and then, in a few more years, I got my daughter going off, and then I'll have more time than I want. But right now, I try to be as home as much as possible and just hang out with the kids. So, like this week, I have a couple weeks before we go back into Bachelor production, and that's what I'm doing. Making turkey sandwiches in the morning, getting the kids dinner at night, and
that's
running
awesome.
Them around.
Do you want to be married again? Like, is that something that you would want to see again?
No, it's not a goal of mine anymore. There's a time in your life when that's really important. I wanted to have kids. I wanted to have a family, and I had that. And I actually had a wonderful marriage as well. for a long time and got two great kids out of it. And my ex and I are still very close. We live very close. But, you know, the goal of getting married isn't necessarily there. I would love to be in love. I would love to meet somebody special and spend time with them and be in that committed relationship. If that turns to marriage someday, great. If it doesn't, I really don't care. It's not a big deal to me anymore like it was, because you need it for that stage of your life.
I call it Goldie hunting it.
Yeah, the Goldie hunting.
Yeah. And they may be onto something. It's not such a bad thing. You're always dating and constantly,
yes,
putting forth that effort, and you're committed, but you also know that person could walk away at any moment. You better pull your head out of your ass.
I kind of feel like you're in the phase of you just want to have fun right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that has the an odd, just sleep around and all that, and that's not necessarily the case. But meeting someone would be wonderful, and I'm always open to meeting somebody fantastic, and have tried. I've been in relationships since my divorce. They've just been quiet. I'm not a big live out loud on Instagram kind of guy, but if that comes across, great. If not, that's the problem is you guys just astutely pointed out, I work a lot. I travel a ton. When I'm home, I'm a lot with my kids. So I don't have a lot of that to give right now. I don't have a lot of my heart and soul to just devote to somebody else at this point. It's just not the time in my life. But if it comes around, I always feel like when things come around, you make time for things that mean a lot to you.
What if you went on The Bachelor?
Oh,
that would be the
most
watched season of all time. Would you ever consider that?
Look, as my mom says, never say never. There's always
that would be so great.
That's how you end the whole series. It's like the last series.
There's always a price tag for everything,
right? Pay the man.
I would be very clear about, when athletes go up and they sign their $100 million contract.
Yep.
Not about the money. I love the game. I would hold a press conference and I would take my $25 or $30 million and I'd say, guys, I am doing this for the money.
100%. I am letting you know.
I want everybody to know this is my Hawaiian vacation fund. I will never see any of you again in about 6 months. Peace out.
If one of you happens to win my heart, cool. But that's not why I'm here.
100%. And that would be my toast on night one. You all seem lovely. I appreciate your time. If this works out, great. If not, I have $30 million in my pocket.
And I'm going to be okay.
And I'll take you all to Hawaii.
What made you want to get into a restaurant? Because that business is crazy.
Yeah, it's a really dumb decision. You don't, anyone will tell you. As my financial guy said when I told him, he goes, what do you expect to get out of this? I said, well, not money. He goes, okay, good. As long as you don't expect to actually get money back. It was this weird, in all seriousness, this amazing kind of timing, and I'm a big firm believer in karma and timing, and I was home about 3 years ago, almost to the week. My grandmother had passed away, amazing woman from Dallas. I'm third generation Dallas, and she was 99 years old, and we were kind of reminiscing one night with a really good family friend of mine who I'd grown up with, and he's an amazing chef, an executive chef, and he was talking to me about how he's finally getting his own place and starting up a restaurant, and this is what they're doing. And we talked and talked, and he's like, the more I seemed interested, he's like, we're actually looking for one more person. He's like, you'd be kind of fun to do this with. And long story short, I jumped in. I said, it just makes sense. My Mimi wouldn't have steered me wrong.
So,
in
which part of Texas is it? It's in Dallas?
It's in Dallas.
It is in
Dallas.
Okay. Dallas.
It's down by downtown in this great little area called Trinity Grove.
Do you ever make any appearances? Like, will any Bachelor people make appearances? Or?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I was there for opening night, and opening night was insane. It was a packed house. It's a working brewery, so we have our own brews. We have this award-winning brewmaster. We have this executive chef, Michael Weinstein, who's been known in Dallas for years.
The menu looks fantastic, by the way.
It is. And you know what they do that I love? And this is what Michael's genius at. It's simple Texas. Dallas, he doesn't think too hard, but it's phenomenal. He does the simple really, really well. And it's a seasonal menu, farm to table. So it's a little bit different than your typical, brew pubs or gastro pubs. And all the Bachelor people, the Dallas folks came out. Rachel was there, and JoJo, and Raven, and Adam, and Sean, and Catherine, and their 15 kids. So it was fun to see everybody.
That's really sweet. Hey, when you're doing Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, do you ever just sometimes look at the contestant and be like, man, you're an idiot for not knowing a question?
I think probably 3 or 4 years ago I did, but now I realize and this is one of my favorite lines, and I stole it from my executive producer, James Rowley. He said, trivia is only hard if you don't know the answer. And it's so true. If I ask you, you know, a country music question, or Michael, a football question, you're like, really? You're asking me how many points a touchdown is?
Right.
But if you don't watch football, then that is ridiculous. Then if I turn around and ask you a question about Shakespeare or geography in the Middle East, and you're stumped. So it's really fascinating to me, and that's what's great about the game. Over 14 questions, you're going to run into an area that you are just not familiar with. And if you want to gamble, if you can get by it, that's the big challenge. But eventually, you're gonna get that question, whether it's math, geography, pop culture, sports, that is really in your blind spot.
Do you feel smarter? I feel like you have all the answers. It's like Alex Trebek in Jeopardy.
I have definitely learned a ridiculous amount of odd trivia questions, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm a great person to have at a party now. I can just start throwing out bizarre, trivial notes. But it's fun. I mean, but there are times, especially early on, and I feel bad. Because, look, the first two or three questions, you expect them to get by, and it's kind of set up to where they will get by, and you're just getting into the game. And when they get stomped on the first or second question, and there is a massive clue, you know, the sky is what color, and it rhymes with glue.
Right.
And the questions are 1, 4, 6, and blue. And you're just like, why are you having trouble with this?
Right.
But the lights, the cameras, people are nervous. They get in their own head. But those are the times when I cringe. But it's also good TV.
You know, you were very, that one Bachelor you did not like, and you were very vocal about that. And I loved that. So I can't even remember his name.
Juan Pablo.
I'll never forget watching, because I didn't watch the season because I thought he was an arrogant prick, but
right.
I just remember watching like the final rose with you, and you like it was so great because you didn't like hide your disgust with him, and I just want you to know that I appreciated that.
Well, and it wasn't that I just lost a lot of respect for the way he was treating the women and the way he was talking to the women. Mm-hmm. And you know, he was a little bit of a misogynist, a little sexist, and he, you know, I tried to help him again, you know, giving him the benefit of the doubt. I tried to help him, and you know, like, look, you can't, you know, maybe there's a language barrier from Venezuela. You know, these words aren't coming out like you think they are. And so I was trying to help him. And he, when he started talking third person, that's when I knew we were in trouble. You know, anybody who starts referring to themselves by their full name, we are in trouble.
That's amazing.
You are in the most amount of trouble. Well,
unless you're baseball legend Ricky Henderson, who famously was great at that.
Or Wayne Gretzky, who he can talk third person if he wants to. Like, I am the great one.
I know Wayne very well, and he would never do that. That's never. The thing. Even the great one would never say, the great one did this.
The great one says.
Yeah.
Like, ever. Well, Chris,
but when Juan Pablo looked at me and said, Juan Pablo, and I was like, oh, boy.
Here we go.
I said, first of all, you got to stop referring to yourself in the third person. He said, what does this mean? I said, okay, well, now we need to back up because we need a little English.
Now you just need to learn. Yeah. Well, I love you so much. Thank you for being so candid with us and open and honest. And I'm excited to watch everything you do because you're killing it. And I will say to the people that are listening, when I met you, you were just so kind and present and sweet, and I just really appreciate that.
Well, country music fans, we stick together. We're usually good people.
Heck yeah.
Typically. But no, I appreciate it. I love getting to know you, and Michael, hopefully someday our paths will cross. But I appreciate the time. I really always appreciate the support from you guys.
Well, absolutely. We love you, and woof, woof, back to your dog.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye, thanks, Chris.
See ya.
He's so nice.
I mean, I just couldn't imagine like being around those people. Like
which people?
Like all the people. They're freaking crazy.
The bachelors and bachelorettes?
Yeah.
Oh, there's just no way.
It's the sorority house that I don't want to be in.
Yes.
That's what
but
it is.
Everybody's going after the one guy.
But that's the thing. Like that's another reason why, again, I couldn't do a sorority or the bachelor, because I would just be... The second I got on there, I'd be like, okay, that girl's prettier than me. This girl, like, da 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 da. That girl's funnier than me. And then I would just start.
Well, they're all doing that.
You think so? I don't know. Yes. But some of them are so overly confident that they're like, I am the prettiest one in the room.
Well, some of them, number one, is probably an act. Number two, they are narcissistic in a sense and have tendencies. And that's just the way their ego is. But I guarantee you, 98% of Even the guys are in there like, oh, this guy's a douche. All right, that guy might be some competition because we're competitive people. And the girls are the same thing. So they put on that front. But you know, deep down inside, all those little feelings are coming out. Like,
I would have loved him in The Bachelorette.
That'd be the easier way to go.
Maybe I still could.
Well,
he's like staring at me right now. Do you want to come on and be a contestant, try to win my heart back?
Yeah, everyone will go to sleep and wake up next morning. I'm the only one still alive. 24 people murdered in the bachelor house.
Best ratings ever, by the way.
Okay, I got to talk about third love because I'm actually wearing the bra right now. It's really comfortable. They just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. And what I love about it too is because my breast shape is changing, they do half sizes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, like right now I'm not a full double D, but I'm more than a D.
Right.
With my, and by the way,
bragger.
I've never been. I know.
Bragger.
Okay, the second this baby's out, it's going to be a small A again, okay? They're going to deflate like balloons.
I was with some girlfriends this weekend who I did not even like tee it up, who were literally ordering bras on Third Love, and they were so pumped about the half size. This half size thing for people that are
game
half
changer.
Size, it's like a game changer.
Yes. Yeah. No, I love it. And it shows up at your door. And for me too, like I don't know what it is. Like whenever I go into like a Victoria's Secret, I don't like having to have this lady measure me. But they actually for Third Love, there's a fit finder quiz. So you get to find your perfect fit within under a minute. And that I think that's amazing. So cups from A through H, bands up to 48. And 50% of women fall in between standard cup sizes. So again, that's why they invented the half cup. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/Jana now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Jana for 15% off.
Is it weird to be a double D now?
It is, but at the same time, I know they're going to be away. That's why I show them off when I have it. That's why like I wear like low cutting things because I'm like I've got boobs right now and
is
in about 11
that
weeks
you
I won't
could do when they were A's that are like you're noticing or bumping into them or something. I mean I know you've got your belly so it's like-
no I mean I do like it and I will like I said I mean you know and Jen can't give me crap for this because she you know she had her stuff but I'm gonna get a healthy BC.
Just don't do what Jen did and get it done and then come in and be like, hey, what do you guys think about me getting a boob job? Terrible idea. Okay, I guess I can't do anything about it.
I fully support you.
Yeah.
Because at some point, I'm going to get a reduction.
Your boobs?
Yes.
Just give me your...
Because I am a double D. And it's the most annoying thing on the planet when you want to wear a jumpsuit or something. So... Listen, the trade-off isn't always, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody wants what we don't.
I just personally don't like wearing bras. So, but that's what also, I will say Third Love, they have really cool bandos that I wear. So,
oh, they do?
Yeah, they've got like bando bralettes, which are nice because they don't have like the pads and the wiring and stuff.
That's
so,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Mike? Do you wear bras?
No.
Not yet.
Okay, we have been binging a show and I binged it when we were in Virginia and I'm absolutely obsessed and I need you to start watching it ASAP.
What is it?
Ozark.
Oh my God.
I am.
That's what I'm hearing.
So good.
Obsessed.
Are you watching season one or season two?
Well, I binged season one in 3 days.
I gave Jana homework. I told her at the beginning of August, I was like, look, season two of Ozark comes out August 31st. I'm giving you a month advanced notice to watch season one. She waited till the last 5 days of the month, but cranked it out. But finished season one before Friday.
Well done, girl.
Obsessed. And then, so now we're on episode, we have two left.
We have two left, we're on nine.
Okay, this is what I'm debating about Netflix. I don't personally like the fact that you can watch them all at one time. Because then it's done, now you have to wait a year.
Yeah. That's what I used to do.
It's a great debate amongst life right now.
Instant gratification.
But I want to be able to not have to, I don't want to binge, because then it's like, because you binged it all in the beginning and then you kind of forgot like what had happened
a year ago.
Which
I think is why the advantage to binging, because I think if you dragged that out, you'd be a little confused because you're like, what happened 6 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
But how hot is Jason Bateman?
Hot right now.
So you're like, are you so hot for Jason Bateman?
Uh-huh.
No, I saw Jason Bateman at the park and it's so funny because I don't get starstruck at all, but I'm the biggest Jason Bateman fan. I think he's funny. I think he can do everything. He's cute. Like he's just awesome. I think he seems like an amazing person.
He goes to the park.
We live obviously in the same area and I mean, and so he was walking. So I was playing with Jolie. She was on the slide, and he was walking down the sidewalk. And he was just like walking by himself, like smiling. And I looked over, and he like smiled, and I was like. And I immediately like turned my head, and then I took a picture and sent it to Michael.
No, she took a picture, right?
You're the creepy person.
I didn't know what she was sending me a picture of because there's just some person 100 feet away. I was like, "Are you showing me a tree, a bench?" Like she's like, "No, that's Jason Bateman." I was like, "I have nothing.
I barely
see a person in this photo."
But I was so excited, and I'll never forget too because he does the Ellen Kershaw thing. So we saw him at the ping pong thing last year with the Clayton Kershaw ping pong event. And I mean, I just stared at him like a freaking creep.
So I have a treat for you.
What?
So I'm not one to like promote another podcast, but I'm going to.
Okay.
Dax Shepard has a podcast and he spent almost 2 hours with Jason Bateman. And you know how you are not afraid to talk about poop?
Yes.
They do like a 20, maybe 25 minute conversation about pooping.
Oh my God.
I was like laughing out loud, tears, the whole thing. Dying. You guys have to listen.
I love Dax. I actually put him on the list of people I want to interview. I don't know if he'll ever come on our little show, but we're from Michigan.
Yeah.
He's from Michigan too.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We're all Metro Detroiters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he just celebrated his 14 years of
sober. A little thing I will tell you, maybe we could get a little closer to Jason Bateman, Justine Bateman. Has a new book coming out.
I will promote it. I don't even know what it's about. I will promote it.
I'll buy every copy.
I'll buy every copy. Justine Bateman. I just love Jason, and I think he's fantastic. You need to watch Ozark. Okay. This is not even an ad for my podcast, but it's such a great show.
You're welcome, honey, for introducing.
Well, I am going to. I wish I would have known over that big holiday weekend because I was all by myself. I could have I could have watched the entire season.
It's just so good. I can't even like.
All right, I'll watch one tonight. It's Wednesday. I'll watch one on my Wednesday night.
Okay. You know? Is it too early to talk about Halloween?
No, absolutely not.
We need to because I got to figure out.
I have Halloween decorations in the trunk of my car right now.
Okay. One of my least favorite holidays. I almost can say I hate it so much.
Okay, sure. You are like my mother. Holiday. You are like my mother. My mom hates Halloween so much to the point because she always said that I would change my costume. But I'm like, Mom, like. It's whatever. I was a kid, but she hates Halloween. So I then always like really didn't like Halloween because she hated Halloween. So I really like couldn't have fun with it. But Michael loves Halloween.
No.
Oh, okay.
You don't remember. So when Jan and I bought our house together in Nashville, our first house, we both were like, we hate Halloween.
Oh, that's right.
Neither one of us. Yeah, remember?
Yeah.
Who are you people?
So listen, just hear me out. So we're like, you know what? We hate Halloween. So let's do something just crazy. And let's have the best Halloween party ever.
Like the biggest, the best, like everything.
And we did. And we went out and spent thousands of dollars on decorations. We started the first week
Our
of September
entire house
decorating.
Was draped with like sheets. We had like blood spatters, candles
we
everywhere.
We did a contest for best costumes. We had first, second, and third prizes. We had bartenders.
Yeah.
We did it up. And so since then, we've grown to love Halloween a little bit more.
Do you guys dress up like a couple?
Okay.
Oh, God.
So, we've done both times. So, but this last Halloween was by far, Michael had the best costume of all time.
What were you?
Oh, wait, I just have to bring the photo up too. Okay. But go ahead. You can tell her. But the photo is just.
So because
everything.
I hate Halloween, I'm like, if I'm going to dress up, I have to have the best costume.
Like go all out.
The one we did when we had the party at our house, I bought like a $600 Batman costume. I could have been in the movie.
That's amazing.
So I was a 6 foot six Olaf last year for Halloween. I ordered this costume straight from China. And
oh my God.
It's so awesome. Jana was Elsa, the ice queen, naturally.
How come you're like 18 feet tall?
Because that thing,
the head was
I'm
even
already
like
6'6", and then that thing's another foot above my head. It was
that
ridiculous.
Is so funny.
So we go to these streets in Toluca Lake, which has like a ton of trick-or-treaters. Kids are stopping me to take pictures.
I mean, he had a meet-and-greet line.
I literally had a meet-and-greet. I felt like Jana. I should have started charging.
He's charging. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
A legit meet-and-greet line. So now I'm like, how do you beat the giant Olaf? So that's what we'd figure out. Like, what do we beat? Because I like to do the couple thing.
The family thing.
I like to do the family thing. So if anyone has any suggestions, email us. JanaCramer@iHeartMedia.com.
Soon, because I need to find whatever it is. I need to find the best costume there is for it.
I just got Rocco's costume in the mail.
Oh, what is it going
to
be?
He wants to be, right now, he wants to be Pikachu. We usually go through like 3 or 5 costumes and then I donate
that's
them.
That's a normal thing to do. Totally kids change normal. Their mind. Okay. See, Mom?
It's, you just have to go with it because yeah. they're going to change their mind.
Well, I made my mom make my costumes though. Them. So she would actually
well,
hand make.
You were...
Your, yeah, but that was her choice.
Yeah,
she could have bought them. Yeah,
them.
But
why,
she wanted.
Why did y'all originally hate it?
Because my mom hated it, so I wasn't allowed to like have fun with it.
I
you
love
know?
It for kids. I love the decorations. I don't like adults in costumes.
See, that's how I always felt. I just thought it was silly. I'm like
adults in costumes. Why? It's like the one time a year you can dress up.
I know, but I just
again, who
just
are
felt, like,
all of
silly.
You?
Such an excuse too for women to just like.
Oh, that like I don't yeah. like. No, that I do
gross.
Not like to
like,
be a
it's
slutty.
Like your underwear
costumes.
Is not a costume.
Thank you. I do not like that, and I don't like girls that do that. No. I don't like it at all. I think it's like okay. We get it. Like you're trying to show off your body. You're trying to be like, I'm a sexy maid. Like be a little bit more creative right. than a sexy maid.
I'm a witch
personally.
Every year.
Oh, do you do like the
it's
work?
No. It's like pretty. It's the one day a year I can really be myself.
I love that.
I'm not a huge fan. I love it for kids, but yeah, no, I will. You could not pay me enough money to put on a costume. It will not happen.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
Oh no, it will.
This
no,
year. No, well
happen.
No, well.
Nope.
It's
why do you, so why do you hate it so much? Just because you think it's silly?
I don't like theme dressing in general. Mm-hmm. Like I don't. I,
so like
I don't,
the Renaissance 80s
party.
Festivals you would
oh,
hate.
Oh my God.
I want to do that so bad.
The
Renaissance Festival. I want to dress up like one of those fairies.
I worked
and have,
at
like,
one.
And be like, and Michael would be like, oh, this is mine. Whatever.
I get uncomfortable.
Come here, my wench.
I worked at the one in Michigan.
You really?
Mm-hmm.
So good. When so people are in costume around me, uh-huh. like sometimes I do the, I don't see you, I don't see you, I don't see you. I don't like hearts on Valentine's Day. I don't like, oh, a Christmas sweater just kills me. It's like, oh, God.
Even an ugly Christmas sweater?
All of it. I don't do theme dressing at all. So Halloween is like that to the 1,000,000th degree. So, and I just don't want someone talking to me with a mask on. It's just,
but, okay.
Oh.
If someone put on a Santa Claus hat, would you scold them?
Oh, my gosh. I don't like that at all.
Oh, my God.
Are you talking about at Christmas? That's just the worst.
Just a Santa hat.
I'm starting that like many months span of holidays I hate. Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Don't you, why do you hate Thanksgiving?
New Year's, Valentine's
That's
Day.
That's fighting words for
me. I don't really
I will
breathe.
Fight you on Thanksgiving. Why do you not like Thanksgiving? It's about giving thanks. There's no presents. It's my favorite
so much work,
holiday.
So what? Much family fighting.
It's about thanks and giving.
I'm like, let's just get a caterer. And they're like, no, we got to cook it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so exhausted from all this cooking. And I'm just like, seriously, this is happening to me.
Well, here's the deal. Now that I know how much Amy hates it, I'm going to make sure that she has to put everything on.
Oh, you better believe we're coming in here.
Oh, guns blazing.
Oh, sure.
I'm going to be a 6'6" turkey coming in here at Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's
costume
creepy.
For every occasion.
Yeah, and we're going to have an outfit for her, and she's going to have to wear it. And you're going to get over this.
Yeah.
I don't like my dressing. Birthday. I don't like any of it.
Halloween is so much fun. You get the spider cupcakes, all the decorations,
yeah,
pumpkins,
for
carving them.
Great for kids. Totally into it for kids.
And adults.
We need to help you find your inner child this
Michael,
Halloween.
What do you think you want to be though for Halloween?
I don't know.
You
I don't
like
care.
Really...
I just have, again, whatever it is, I have to have the most legit costume. If you want to be Power Rangers, I'm going to find someone at that studio who made the movie and get the real thing. Like, I have to do it. That's the only way I dress up is if I have the best.
Well, yeah, because I just want it to be family themed. So again, if you guys have any ideas, JanaKramer@iHeartMedia.com, and I'd like it to be family themed. So it needs, so like last year, obviously he was Olaf, I was Elsa, and Jolie was Anna. So we need to like have it family themed.
If I may, Janet.
Please, Easton.
My wife and I do couples costumes every year.
I love it.
And last year, I was the man in the big yellow hat, and she was Curious George, and our dog was a banana.
Aww.
And one year, I was a fisherman. I had like one of those, I looked like the I Know What You Did Last Summer guy, the raincoat with the beard, and she was a mermaid.
Oh.
And one year, I was a magician, and she was a rabbit.
Aww.
And I think this year, we're going to do, she's going to be the hippo from Fantasia, and I'm going to be an alligator.
Amy is throwing up in her mouth in the corner. I like the Fantasia one this year. That's gonna be awesome.
I know. You know what, Amy? I think you're just homesick, and you know what you need? Homesick candles.
That I like, actually.
Homesick candles?
Yeah, I think that's cool.
I think it's a really neat idea because I miss Michigan. I miss Nashville. And I want that reminder. So that's what I love, that Homesick Candles. They provide warm, glowing reminders of the special times, people, and places of your life. So if you want to think about Thanksgiving, Amy, you can order a where you grew up Thanksgiving candle. I just think that's fantastic. They have special Homesick Candles for all 50 states and dozens of the most famous countries and cities of the world. So there's like Beach House up north, which I think is really cool too. So you go to homesick.com to find every single one of the 50 United States candles, plus dozens of classic U.S. cities and popular countries.
Do they have Vegas? We should get the Vegas one to get us pumped for our trips to Vegas.
Yeah, they've got Vegas.
What does that smell like?
You don't
perfume
want to know.
And smoke, dirty laundry.
Smoking sex. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, stay on track here. The world ship direct to you and your friends, family in just days. Right now, my listeners can get free shipping plus $10 off when you buy two or more candles. Just visit homesick.com and use my code Jana. That's homesick.com and use my code Jana.
I can answer that question, actually.
What?
It smells like desert sand and midnight air, herbs and spices from the finest restaurants, and hints of cold hard cash.
That sounds cool. That is from homesickcandles.com.
Oh, wow. What is Michigan?
Michigan smells like tart cherries and rich chocolate.
Oh, ooh, wonderful.
That sounds good.
Honeysuckle and rose balanced with cinnamon and a sandalwood finish.
Do they have one for every major city?
Yeah. So like you'd have like...
Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Lies, deceit, and affairs.
It is a scent of soft downpours, steeped Earl Grey tea, and mild hints of cedar and patchouli. A touch of maple and vanilla, complemented with a bouquet of rhododendron flower and amber.
Oh, lot of
I would love that candle.
That sounds like a good candle.
Yeah,
I like more of a manly candle. Just
that
like
would
for
be
my,
manly.
Yeah,
the patchouli.
I just like more of a manlier smell. I don't like flowery.
Can we unpack something that we talked about with Chris?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unpack. That's like the...
Is that your new word?
The cliche, lame word. Let's curate this. Can we talk about losing your virginity?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems like something we've never talked about.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you?
I was 16. My boyfriend was 15.
Oh, younger man.
Yeah.
I was 14.
You were 14?
Wow.
Does
I was 14.
Get less awkward as you get older? Because it's like, now it seems like no big deal. Like, who cares? Talk about it.
Right. Well, Michael, how old were you?
14.
Whoa.
Sorry, Mom and Dad.
Oh, wait, did they not know that? Oh.
I know. I'm so glad my mom doesn't listen.
How old were you?
14.
Oh, my God. What?
Yes. Wait, I thought you said 15.
No,
you were 14
I was
too?
14.
Her boyfriend was 15.
He was 19.
Whoa.
He was in college. I was a freshman in high school.
That seems like you'd need a note, like a parental note.
Yeah, it was illegal.
Wait, at 14?
Badass.
Yeah, but at 14, though, that just seems so young.
I know.
I mean,
yeah. I was mature.
How old was your girl?
22.
She was, I was a freshman. She was a junior. So, wow. 17.
Wait, you were 22 when you lost your virginity? Mm-hmm. Why? Why wait so long?
Who was the guy?
Why would you do that? Jeez.
Okay.
Who was the guy?
You want me to just name him? I'm not going to name
him. Was he a frat boy?
What does it rhyme with? Mine's Waddy.
Well, what's weird is he doesn't want... We're still friends.
Oh, okay.
And he doesn't want to claim it. Like, he knows it was him, but there was sort of like maybe a half one before. And he's like, no.
What do you mean a half? Did they like go half in?
So, okay. Oh,
not full throttle, but like...
Uncomfortable.
Like the hot dog was in the bun, but not...
Like, I think I messed around with somebody maybe a year before
this person.
And there was like, it was close, but not really. And so then
it was
this
like
guy,
touching. It was kissing.
No, like, I'm not an idiot. Like, it was like, it was like almost maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
No, I mean, the thing was kissing the other thing.
I don't know if we have to get this descriptive.
It was like almost whatever. So then it really did happen. And then obviously I talked about it with the person and he's like, no,
that
wasn't me. It was this one. Like, he didn't want to claim it.
How did he know?
About the other person?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm very open with the boys I'm with. I'm going to talk about it.
Mark, how old were you?
I was 15, and like Mike, she was 2 years older than I was.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Everybody's so young. Is there nobody that was in their 20s?
Easton, how old were you?
Easton's like, any day now.
Fingers crossed. I mean, Christmas is coming. I was 17. She was 21. Oh, and it was my friend's older sister.
Oh, your friend's Mark older and I are flopping sister.
Like, I want to open the door and see if there's anybody that's in their 20s.
There's like, not.
Well, I will say, though, I have one girlfriend that is in her 20s that still hasn't lost her virginity because she is waiting. But to me, I'm like, you know, that's, and I have nothing against that. I think that's, if that's what you want to do, I just personally think that I wish I would have waited a little longer.
What's
now
like a
thinking
good age?
About it. I mean, I think
22.
Well, I mean, I will say this though. He was my high school sweetheart. I loved him, you know, and I have zero regrets about it. I will say that, but thinking back, I'm like, yeah, maybe we could have waited like maybe another year or so. I don't know, but maybe not because we stayed together for 3.5-4 years.
Oh, wow. I mean, I like those. Okay. I like
that's
those
a
stories.
Sweet story.
Yeah, but I mean, if losing your virginity for to someone random, like that would be, I wouldn't have wanted that. I would see, I if like if it's Jolie and she, we were talking about this, I would say like, hey, you know, if you care about this person, that's who I think you should lose your virginity to. Is what I would probably say to her. Yeah. I don't want it to just be some random. Because was your person random?
Well, we were sort of dating. I mean, he was in college. Yeah. I was a freshman in high school. He was really hot.
I'm shook by that story, by the way. Yeah. The freshman in college and the freshman in high school is a little creepy for
me. We skied together.
Ah.
That's what they call it then?
Got it. But I mean, like yours, Mike. Like it wasn't like a...
No, we were really good friends. We were legitimate.
Do you ever regret about not being with... what was your high school sweetheart?
Trisha.
I was called Debbie. Trisha. Yeah. I know. I don't
Deborah.
Know. Deborah.
Not necessarily because it wasn't, because to me, like I had the person I lost it with, like we had a very close friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like friends with benefits, but we respected each other and we loved each other as friends.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know. I don't regret it.
Does anyone in the room regret it?
No.
No. Because he was my high school sweetheart. If he was just a random hookup, then I would have regretted it. I would say then I would have for sure regretted it.
It wasn't like.
But we got caught
what it is now.
Soon afterwards.
No.
Yeah.
By parents?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was Sadie Hawkins.
Oh.
And Michael, do you know the story?
No, I don't think I do.
Do you want to know it?
Sadie Hawkins, that tramp.
No. It was the dance.
I know.
No, it was Sadie Hawkins. And so it was, we were probably like a month into like being like sexual. And so we left the dance to go home because we knew his parents were at the movies.
Mm.
So we go back to his house and, you know, we start having sex or whatever. And then all of a sudden the door opens and it's his
dad.
And his dad saw me.
No.
Butt naked. I run upstairs. And I just start like bawling, crying.
Where were you guys in the house?
We were in the living room because we thought we could hear the garage door open.
My
but
God.
They didn't go through the garage.
Oh,
so they like went through like the side door.
Oh, awful.
Yeah. So so that happens. And I'm still like butt ass naked, like in the bathroom, bawling my eyes out. He comes and he's crying. He's naked. Like, well, I think he might have put something like around him or whatever. Like we're just both crying. And his dad comes in, he goes, go grab the rubber. Because he had left the rubber and like threw it on the floor.
Ew.
I know, it was so gross. I mean, we were using protection, that's good, right? but then his mom, rest in peace, because she was amazing. She unfortunately passed away because of breast cancer. But she goes, you have 24 hours to tell your mother. And I was just like, sweating. Like, I just remember driving home, like, just like sweating and bawling my eyes out. So I go home and I draft this like epic novel to my
mother. I'm running away.
Like this novel.
I will never come
home. Just being
home.
Like, mom. So I lied to her in the letter. Sorry, mom. I know you listen. But I lied to her and I said, this is my first time ever having sex. Please, I'm so sorry.
But you said it was. That was when you lost it.
That wasn't. No, I said we were a month into being sexually active.
Oh, I didn't know
when
that
we
meant
got caught.
Other stuff.
Yeah. So, I wrote it. I was like, mom, I'm so sorry. Like, this is the first time that we had sex, and you know, Mrs. and Mr. whatever caught us having sex, and you know, I'm so sorry. I'm so ashamed. And da 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 da. And what I did was, and she was in her room, and I slid it underneath the door, and then I ran back in my room. And was like, mom, you have a note underneath your door.
Like, classic Jana fashion.
Like classic me, just to like run away. So then I'm in my room, and she like knocks on my door, and she was like, do we need to get you on birth control? And I was like, that was like the last thing I thought she would say to me. I thought I was going to be like grounded for weeks. But she was like, let's talk about birth control
options.
That
was good. I think she was doing good mom job there. Yeah. This is why I think people should wait till college. Like, this should not be happening in high school.
I disagree, though. If it's a relationship, though, you know what I mean?
But not even that. But I feel like in college, you might be more susceptible to the drunk, regretful sex.
Yes, exactly.
As opposed to high school, it's like you're fooling around. It's like, I'm trying to figure this out.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, that is very true. Because if not, you're going to be drunk at some party and it's like, whatever, I'm drunk, I'm going to sleep with Joe Schmo.
Is the number still a thing? Like, do people still count how many people they've slept with? My number is so extraordinarily low.
Really?
Oh, it's so low.
We don't, Michael and I have never shared a number because we probably don't know how many.
Is that a thing? Like,
I was like, exclusive.
Very. Headline
last
news.
Weekly.
No.
They don't know their number.
We from the very beginning of us dating, we agreed. We're like,
Is that a thing people ask? Like, I'm so old now.
I used to, 100%. Back in the day, I used to want to know.
I don't know.
In my 20s, I wanted to know people's like numbers and stuff. Yeah. But then when I just started to have fun in LA,
I just told somebody I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Well, I mean, now we know stuff, but I mean, it is what it is. But I would love to hear losing your virginity stories if you have regrets.
Great topic.
Did you marry him? Did you marry the guy you lost virginity? Yeah. Which you know, that's another interesting thing because I'm wouldn't you kind of want to like?
I have a lot of friends whose number is 2.
Really?
My number's 5. I'll just tell you guys. I don't care. Okay. I'm hoping for 6 any second.
I'm working on it.
Baby's working on the other hand.
But I know a lot of people, 2.
2?
Wow.
Because there's the first person, and then they married the second.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, everyone moved to California and had a fun 20s.
Yeah.
You know what's bad is like when you tell me that your story, my first intuition is thinking about Jolie and then our son. Right. And putting them both in that scenario, how I would react. And if it was our son and it was like came home and it was a girl that he was seeing or whatever and they were having sex. Yes, I would be. I don't know how I would react, but I wouldn't high five him or anything. It wouldn't be like that. But I would just be like, what the?
You know, are you using protection? Yeah. Are you, you know, smart about
this? If we came home and Jolie and some guy got up off of her and was like running away, I would chase that mother effer down. And
what's
like,
the difference though? That girl is the
because
still
it's my
girl.
Baby girl. If I saw some dude on top of her, like, and I come in, I don't know. I'll just react. I'll be like, you come here.
But what if it's like, you know, her high school sweetheart who she's in love with and like, you know,
yeah, I mean,
that you know,
I still
it's
wouldn't
like,
be happy.
It's Alex, like, I don't know. This is his name. And we
right,
love Alex.
Right, right.
And
I mean, that's,
like, that, you know,
there would be my reaction wouldn't be as extreme. I'm not saying I'll physically harm the person either way. I'm just saying I'd be like, get the f*** out of here.
I think that's every dad's worst nightmare. And I don't think any dad should have to walk into that.
No, I don't think so at all.
No.
And I hope that Jolie is open enough to be able to tell us like when she is starting to be. I mean, I know your brother is in that starting age of sexually activeness and how to talk to your parents and stuff. But it's you want them to come to you. But it's also that awkward like, God, like my little baby is now having sex. It's gotta be hard.
I mean, just what I was telling you about the other day, thinking about my brother who's 17, who, because there's a 14-year difference, I still look at him as like my little man.
Right.
Right. And we're driving home, you know, when we're back in Virginia together. And I started asking these questions because I've been uncomfortable to even bring it up with him. But I'm like, he's about to be 18 years old in December.
Yeah.
I'm like, what was I doing when I was 18 years old? I was like, he's doing something. I was like, I can't be naive anymore. He's not just like my innocent little man anymore.
Yeah.
So it's just weird to like have that conversation with them.
I know. Well, I would love to hear people's stories. If you have any regrets about losing your virginity, if you married the person, you know, your number. You want to tell me your number? Tell me your number. Jana Kramer at iHeartMedia.com. I would love to, you know, to listen to the
confessions.
To your emails. Yeah, confessions. Confessions of virginity.
Yes.
These are some Halloween costume ideas and virginity talk is going to be great emails. Next episode just dissecting all of those.
Yeah.
You know it's a great number.
What?
38.
Is that your number?
Carbon 38.
Oh.
Got him!
Wow.
Soft toss.
Soft toss into carbon 38. I love it. By the way, I was like, well, that's a good number for a dude.
Not my number.
It's kind of low, but, you know, respect, whatever.
Oh, my.
Carbon 38 is a performance fashion e-commerce site that curates brands that blur the lines between workout wear and street style. I love Carbon 38, and it's funny. I posted a, I was doing a live video on my Instagram, and I had these sweatpants that I was wearing, and they kind of had some holes in them, and everyone's like, where is that from? It's so cute, because not only can I wear them when I'm working out, but I also wear them leisurely too. They're really cute. It's from Carbon 38. They like to mix style with function, which I think is really great. Again, they're comfortable, they're breathable, they're lightweight.
They make your butt look awesome.
They do make your butt look awesome. Honey, you loved that Carbon 38 shirt that we got.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, so good. Carbon 38 offers new arrivals daily from the top luxury performance fashion labels. Go to carbon38.com and use code WINE, W-H-I-N-E, for 20% off your order. That's carbon38.com, promo code WINE, for 20% off your purchase.
I have an email if you're interested.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of an interesting topic here. This is from Jenna. And she says, my husband and I have been married for 4 years. We have two sons. I've never really been too concerned about him cheating because he's genuinely a good guy and has never given me a reason to doubt that. He had bad judgment a few years ago. He went to a strip club for a friend's bachelor party right after I gave birth to our first son. I was open with how I felt. I thought he learned from that. He knows I'm very easily jealous and very insecure about my body. A couple months ago, he got a vasectomy, and long story short, to get off, he searched Google for pictures to look at. I'm not sure what that has to do with a vasectomy necessarily, but...
Maybe she thinks the surgery somehow affected...
I've had that surgery. Right. Everything's fine.
Well, for you, but maybe
well,
someone
else. Maybe there
else.
Were issues. Okay, I guess.
Maybe his penis doctor made a mistake.
Anyway.
That's like extremely confusing.
So what her point is, and this is kind of sad, the pictures worked... And what she has to offer didn't, is what she's saying. She says, I feel like he cheated. Even though I know he felt pressured to perform, I feel like he has betrayed me. I found out about it on his phone. I just can't get over it. I've had two babies in 2 years. I'm still breastfeeding. I don't want him to look at me. I feel like my boobs aren't as big as the pictures he saw, or I'm not as tan. Am I wrong to feel like I've been cheated on? Should I be okay with this? Because some people would say this is a normal guy thing. I don't know what to do. It makes me hate myself. Thank you for your time reading this.
Did I write that email?
Yeah, right.
You think he's a Jenna, but it was really like, I probably wrote the email in there. No, that's hard. I mean, we've kind of talked about this in our relationship too, where it's like for us personally, it's just, we feel like that's a way of taking away romance from our relationship. And I think she just has to be open and honest with him and how that makes her feel. Because I do the same thing where if, you know, I know Mike was looking at something and it's like, man, I'm comparing myself to like, well, they've got bigger boobs than me and they look prettier than me and they're sluttier or whatever. And like, I can't get you off, but she can. Like, that's a really hard thing to like swallow. And for a woman to like not feel like they're wanted by their like guy. Mm-hmm. So I think if she can try to like be honest about it. And I think it sucks in this day and age because so many men are like, whatever. It's what guys do. We watch porn. We look at pictures. Like,
right.
And I don't think that's fair for the relationship personally.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough subject, and that's something that, you know, Jan and I have dealt with firsthand over the last couple of years. And because of all that, because of what we've been through, man, this went from like happy-go-lucky to like deep stuff. Thanks, Mark.
Sorry.
No, it's great. It's a good email. No, at least for Jana and I's beliefs and my strong beliefs now, I think that whole it's a guy thing is an overplayed excuse. And that's what it is. It's an excuse nowadays. And, you know, I read something, and this was years ago too, about Terry Crews, you know, the actor Terry Crews. Mm-hmm. And in an article, he was talking about how he stopped like watching porn and he stopped looking at any of that kind of stuff because he realized and felt like it took away from his marriage. And, you know, I read that and I was like, man, that kind of started to resonate with me. And I still, you know, had my issues on getting away from that stuff because it becomes habit for men. Because, you know, masturbation or porn and all that stuff becomes a habit. And it's like one of those things that dads might talk to their sons about. Hey, this is a natural thing. I don't know if it's a natural thing. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. But, you know, I will be an advocate to say that I don't think that excuse can be played anymore. I think she definitely has the right to go to him and be like, look, this is how it makes me feel. I know it's not physically cheating. I know it's not physically acting out. But it still emotionally can affect me the same way. And that's something he has to listen to.
Yeah. And totally to that point as well is you know, just how an addiction starts. If he's right. starting to look at that, he's maybe like, oh, maybe this isn't doing enough for me. But now maybe going to find this girl in that bar might now right. give me that high.
They,
you know,
they become so that's desensitized.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's where the whole, you know, addiction could come in. And that's scary. So I think it's important. I hate, like kind of like I said, I don't like that stereotype that it's what
guys look at. It's funny. It's this and that. And I was the stereotype of that for so many years. For so many years, I was that guy. And just now, from the outside looking in, it's just, it's not healthy.
Do you think it could be up to the couple? Like,
sure.
Yes.
Because couples like watching porn together.
100%.
100%. Yeah.
It can totally be subjective based on a couple. I know we've mentioned that too on here too, where there's couples that do that together and that works for them. And that is awesome. That's totally fine. There's men out there that can have guy talk and look at that stuff and it not affect them in any way, not affect their relationship. That's great. I just want men and couples like these two to be aware that it can affect a relationship.
And just to be open and honest about it and not like a hidden thing too, where it's, you know, where she does have to see that she's looking at a porn site or he's looking somewhere, whatever. And vice versa, even if the girl, I don't know if the girl's doing it too, but.
You know. I have a question, honey.
Answer.
If, say, the same situation is happening, but mm-hmm. he has no issue in the bedroom, mm-hmm. he's active, he gives her attention and all that stuff, but she still maybe just has an issue with it for whatever reason, but it's mm-hmm. She doesn't feel like it's taken away from, or there doesn't seem to be anything on paper that's taken away from the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
If it still makes her uncomfortable, then that's still something that she has to speak on. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it 100% makes it worse when they're not getting off with her, but getting off with the internet.
Right.
That's hurtful. But if he's fine, like you said, in the bedroom, but it still bothers her, then that's something that she still needs to address.
They have to be on the same page.
Yeah. I mean, obviously minus our situation, but like if I was in a relationship and that was the case and it was fine in the bedroom and, you know, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't care if the person was watching it as well because he's not taking away from our mm-hmm. our time too.
Well, that's the point, right? We get a lot of emails saying, is this normal? And there is no normal. Every relationship
is
different.
There is no normal.
And you have to establish your own guidelines there
boundaries.
And respect each other's feelings about that.
They have to communicate about.
Yeah. And I also want to say, and maybe you can back me up, Mike, as a guy.
Oh, here it goes.
We're not comparing you. And I know that's hard for you to believe. And whether it's porn or it's an R-rated movie with a nude scene or it's somebody on the beach or somebody mm-hmm. walking by in the street in a short skirt, we're not comparing you. There is none of that.
Right. But when you are off to a big-breasted woman and yet you can't get off with me in
well,
the bedroom.
Well, that is a different situation.
That hurts.
Yes,
no.
That's
that
I understand
is like, that is, can, that to us, you could still say it's not about you. Well, that person looks different than me. So that sucks. All right. Well, today was fun and also
so
heated.
Fun. Yes.
Good.
It got like juicy. I love
good
it.
Good stuff.
Thank you, everybody. Jen, Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Third Love. Go to thirdlove.com/Jana now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. FabFitFun. Remember to use my code Jana to get $10 off your first FabFitFun box today. Carbon 38. Go to carbon38.com and use code WHINE, WHINE, for 20% off your order. Homesick Candles, thank you. Remember, you can get free shipping plus $10 off when you buy two or more candles. Just visit homesick.com and use my code JANA. And of course, thank you to Lola and go to mylola.com for 40% off all subscriptions and enter JANA when you subscribe today. Okay. Love you guys.
Love
that
you
was
too.
Fun.
Love you.
I'm excited
that was
to wind
so
down next week.
Virgins, send your story.
Virgins in costume.
Yes.
Let's do it. That's the title next week, Virgins in Costume.
Virgins in Costume.
That sounds like porn.
Might get more listeners.
Yeah.